Welcome to episode 342 of Fly Away. Here at Outlander Travel, we're passionate about, well, travel. Throughout the years, we've seen many changes to the industry, but one thing has stayed the same and is the urge to explore our world and make the connections that can only be made through experience. My name is Lindsay, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth, Sandy, Donna, and George. There is no doubt that we are starting to travel again, not just you, our listeners, but also us, your Flyaway podcast crew. Recently, Elizabeth was invited by Delta and Delta Vacations to experience a brief trip out of the country so she could experience coming back to the country. Tonight, we will talk a bit about her experiences with travel logistics and testing, but we also want to hear all about where she stayed. Margaritaville Island Reserve, Riviera Cancun. So fins up and let's get started. I want to hear all about how you got wasted away again in Margaritaville.
So of course this was a work trip, so I did not get wasted away.
Because we would never do that on a work trip.
But I did.
No, we don't ever do that.
I did try to live and embrace the lifestyle, which you really can't help it. I mean, I'm not a huge Jimmy Buffett fan. I am aware of Jimmy Buffett. I certainly know the main songs, and I certainly know sort of the lifestyle that he promotes. I don't know all the lingo. I don't know, but it's amazing because the theming at this place is so good that you sort of can fall into it. You know, if you're not sure, was that Changes in Latitude song? Was that Jimmy Buffett? You will know by the time you leave if it was Jimmy Buffett, because it's on stuff. You know, it's everything's named after his songs or his planes. It's all very, very well themed. But I kind of felt like it was kind of a Disney kind of theming, where in all of their nicer resorts, there is a theme of Disney there, but it isn't in your face. It's subtle. It's in little nuances, or you know, you might find some hidden Mickeys in the carpet, but you don't have, you know, Mickey Mouse popping out of your shower curtain or whatever going, hello, good morning. So it's the same thing. It's like Jimmy Buffett is everywhere, but it's not in like in your face ways necessarily. So
for somebody, let's pretend somebody who's listening to this isn't familiar with Margaritaville or Jimmy Buffett. What am I seeing when I walk into this resort?
So the whole Jimmy Buffett idea is basically relaxing, enjoying the life, drinking, carefree. You know, he was a pilot, he's a musician, you know, he is an embodiment of Key West, which incidentally, I just heard today that they are converting one of the Key West iconic hotels into a Margaritaville. That one won't be an all-inclusive like this one is, but there are Margaritavilles now all over the place. Some are regular hotels and some are all-inclusive. And this one is one of the all-inclusives. So there are margaritas. You definitely can find tequila. You can find all kinds of margaritas. But then again, that's not unusual for Mexico, right? So it's sort of like, let's take what's Mexican about Jimmy Buffett and make sure it's there. And then there's flip-flops. You know, there's art on the wall. There is apparently at every Margaritaville, there is the woman to blame is drawn into a parrot on a piece of art. And if you can find it, I think you win something. So that's at this resort. There's a big statue in the lobby, which is, I think, at every Margaritaville, of a big flip-flop that's busted out with a pop top lying on the ground. So yeah, you sort of get all of that, all those things you would be expecting. When you walk into this resort, they hand you a margarita popsicle to cool you off. It's delicious and it's tiny. You're not going to get wasted on it. The lobby is open air with these like lounger swings. So basically Bali beds, but that are swings. So super relaxed feel leading out to this flip-flop. And it's not a big resort either. It's very laid back, no dress codes. So if you want to wear shorts to dinner, even in the nicest restaurant on property, you wear shorts to dinner. Even flip-flops, especially flip-flops. They give you a pair of flip-flops at check-in. So wow. You will absolutely have, if you did not bring flip-flops, first of all, you packed poorly. Secondly, you will have some when you leave that are branded Margaritaville. So yeah. So all of those things you can find, no problem.
So how are the margaritas?
Good. The ones that I had were really good. And they do sort of, they do some mixology stuff and classes of sorts. So we did a tequila tasting, which was super fun, and I won. I didn't know you could do competitive tequila tasting, but I've learned that you can, and I've learned that I'm very good at it. They basically did three, you know, like a white tequila, a light brown tequila, and a darker brown tequila, and they talked about sort of the differences and how they're made, and they were all good tequilas. They were all the same brand, just with the different distilling processes or lengths of time. But at the end, he took three volunteers to come up and he poured out in a blind taste test their house tequila and one of the better tequilas, and you had to discern the difference. And out of the three of us, I was the one who did it. So I got a "If Life Gives You Limes, Make a Margarita" t-shirt.
Oh,
in a size medium, so I'm not sure.
That's okay, you know.
I can
sometimes do a medium. It looked really tight on me, but you know, I'd look like it was painted on. But
you know. So the hat. I want to ask you, because this is managed by Charisma. So what is the food like?
So Charisma is known for a gourmet inclusive. That's sort of their tagline, TM, I believe. And it's very good. There are only four restaurants here. And then there's five bars, which seems to me to balance out the Jimmy Buffett idea. Right? One more bar than restaurant. Although one of the bars that they have is called Blended, and you actually make your own margaritas. They put all the ingredients in a blender and they stick it on a bike and then you pedal to create your smoothie or your margarita.
Sandy's ideal of a great time is
I know. I saw so many people try it, including our friend Mike, and you know, they're like, "Oh, this looks like fun," and about 2 minutes into it they're like, "This is not fun."
Someone turn this blender on.
Can we just run this thing? And you know, little hint, you just go as long as you want to and then they'll take it from you and they'll finish it on the blender.
They'll roll their eyes.
They're ready for it. They will totally do that for you. But so there's four restaurants. The Beach House is breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It is normally a buffet, but of course, at this time, it is served a la carte. There is Rita's Taco House, which is only open for lunch. The tacos were amazing. That's also where we did our tequila tasting. And they have a taco that serves four. I can't remember what it's called, but it is literally the size of my head. I have never seen a taco that big. It was ginormous. And reports are it was very delicious. They also had a shareable nacho thing where they bring it out. It's in like this tin can and you're like, how am I going to eat that? And then the tin can turns out not to have a bottom on it. And they pull it out. So you've got this like cylinder of nachos. Really good. Some of the best nachos I've had. And, you know, yes, I'm in Mexico and I expect good nachos, but these were just really, really good. Like, balanced really, really well. So that's open for lunch. And then there's two places that are open for dinner along with the Beach House. So the Beach House is going to be your more casual. And it is sort of, it's not on the beach, but it's right by the beach. But the two nicer restaurants are Frank and Lola's Italian, because you're not an all-inclusive if you don't have an Italian restaurant. And if you don't know Jimmy Buffett, Frank and Lola is one of his songs. So it's named after them. And they're all over the, you know, the decor features, like cartoon drawings of them and everything. It's neat, but it also has a bit of an Italian feel. And then Latino, which I will say I was intrigued by and super excited about. And a little let down. Not that the food was bad. It wasn't bad. It was actually quite good. But it was billed as Latin Asian fusion. So I was really expecting maybe some sushi with some Latin spices or maybe some Latin ingredients. But it was like, I think our friend Mike ordered a beef bao. And I thought that it would be maybe tortillas with beef, so that the tortillas would be the bao, or that it would be a bao bun, but it would be like a Latin spiced beef instead of a Japanese spiced beef. It was actually just basically a fajita, and there was no bao, there was no tortilla. Maybe it was a mistake, I don't know, but yeah, I was like, well, this isn't quite, yeah, it wasn't what I thought. I had a salmon that was good, but it wasn't anything special or, you know, You there wasn't anything that struck me as a particularly unique blend. So, but we were also there, folks, for three nights and got to eat at all the restaurants. So I will say that it's a very small resort. And if you are somebody, like, let's say George, who doesn't need a lot of variety in his meals, then you would be fine there because, you know, you could eat at the same restaurant a few times. And there were several things on each menu that I would have enjoyed. But I like to, when I go to an all-inclusive, I kind of like to eat in a different place every night. So for a short trip, I thought it was excellent. And the food, again, it was very tasty. It just wasn't extraordinary. And let's preface this with, this is during, right at the end of COVID, at least I think it's the end of COVID. So I'm not sure if I was getting full menus. Like, I'm not sure.
It's a new place too. It just opened.
It opened last year, which was probably bad timing. But
well, they
So they might have modified. I know most all inclusive have modified something at this point, and are just kind of starting to get back into things, the swing of things. So.
And I didn't feel like I was being shortchanged. I don't want to make it sound like that. Like the menus were small, but they had a good variety on them. And like I said, every restaurant that I went into had at least two things that I would have enjoyed trying. And of course, at an all-inclusive, I could have enjoyed trying them, but I also didn't want to roll myself out of there. And I was a guest of, you know, of a major airline and didn't want to embarrass myself. So
it would have been poor form for you to really get wasted.
Yeah. But I did. I mean, I really did feel like, I didn't even talk about the floating taco bar. So for an additional charge, which I believe is about $45, you can order a taco bar to be served in the pool. And they bring out this big round tub. I'll try to use a picture of it as the lead-in picture for this podcast. It is a big round tub of like 80 tacos. And you can,
So I got to know, what was it like eating tacos with your hands after they'd been in chlorinated water?
So I actually wasn't in the water when I had one. I took it from outside. But I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, I guess it's probably the same as running your hands with hand sanitizer first, right?
Because I've been at all-inclusive resorts where they have those floating rings out in the water in the ocean and with all the salt water. And then you'll see people take food out there. And I'm always thinking, that's a great idea until you're eating French fries and you're
super salty. Nobody was complaining.
You're supposed to take the alcohol and dump it over each hand a little bit first. Rinse off the chlorine, get a little of that beer flavor going.
Okay. Yeah. I've been doing it wrong. It sounds like a great idea, and it sounds like a very fun party.
Yeah, and it's interesting because these pools are not very deep. The way they built this resort, the deepest pool is maybe 5 feet. So, it's friendly for that. Like, you can stand up and eat. It's not like you're treading water the whole time or whatever. That taco bar can float anywhere in that pool, and you can stand up and eat. Well, most people can.
Well, it sounds like it's meant to be eaten with several people.
Oh, yes.
Like a party.
Yes. A large group.
$45
in
the tacos.
And I did not order it myself. I just partook because, you know, once somebody orders it, they want everybody to have some because there's no way that they can even their own party size. You know, I think there was a wedding there while we were there, but everybody's just so friendly. And with it being such a small resort, you know, it was easy to get to know people. And even in COVID, you know, everybody was very respectful of each other's space, but
Is it adult only?
No, it's family friendly, which seems an odd mix for Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah, it seems a little strange. When I saw that on one of your posts that it was family friendly, and I was like,
they have kids activities. So it actually is the old Azul Beach. There is an Azul Beach now, but I toured it years ago, and when I walked into the lobby, I was like, this looks just like Azul Beach. It is. They basically renovated it, and and that property was family friendly. The rooms that the section that I was in that had buildings named like changes in latitude and changes in attitude and banana something, and they were all basically rooms for two. So king size bed, you know, your mini bar, your normal amenities. Then on the other side of the road, so that's when you come in the lobby, if you turn right, that section of the resort. If you turn left, there was another pool there, and there's other buildings that were two-story buildings as well, but they had a totally different look. They were much more squared off than we were in buildings that looked a little bit more like villas and beach houses. And then there's the other side was more like apartments almost. They have swim out rooms, but these are unlike any swim out rooms I've ever seen before. They make you sign a waiver if you have kids in these rooms because there is no fence, there's no gate, and it's literally a ladder to get into the pool. There's no step in. It's not, this is not a very accessible resort. Yeah, there's no ladder to step in. They do have some ramps and things like that, and there are places you can go, but there, but yeah. So the swim outs are not swim outs, they're kind of jump outs. They do go directly to the pool bar, which is way in the back of the resort. It's very unusual. Usually the pool bar is like front and center. But the 5 o'clock summer bar is the front and center bar, and you can, like, you can see it from the pool, and they actually have little bar stools around it, but it's like 6 feet up. Right. Mm-hmm. So you can sit on the, yeah, there you, you're not talking to the bartender from there. You're, it's a,
but there's another pool bar.
Right. There is an actual pool bar, one pool bar, and it's in the back, and it is actually connected to some of the swim out rooms, which is a feature that I do like. Sometimes, you know, you can actually swim from your room out to the bar.
I have to go back and look at my pictures of Azul Beach. I don't remember.
Assuming that you have the old Azul Beach.
Well, yeah.
So you mentioned the difference in the two types of rooms. Explain a little bit about the mini bar.
Yeah.
How you use it, because this is not... It's
a weird all-included mini bar. And actually, I when he first explained to me, when I checked in how it was going to work, I was like, oh, this is annoying. But then I realized it's actually, you know, the way that they spin it is actually true. They spin it as a completely customizable mini bar. So you're used to in a resort, you get to your room and your mini bar will be stocked with, depending on the quality of the resort, a full octane soda, a diet soda, a clear soda of some sort, maybe ginger ale, El Presidente light and water, right? That's usually, and maybe some wine, maybe, depending on the resort.
In those fun little
chocolate. And maybe some M&Ms, some peanut M&Ms and Pringles, right? So that's what you usually get in your mini bar. So this mini bar, when you walk into your room, it has water in it. And then you actually have a cocktail shaker. You have a lime squeezer. You have a plastic knife, so that you, like, basically everything you would need to make a margarita fresh, except for the tequila. But all you have liquid wise is water. And then you have a coffee maker with the coffee pods. So you get a number of points based on the length of stay per person and the type of room. So if you're in a suite, you get more points per day than you get if you are in an entry-level room. So I was given, for a three-night stay, I was given, and for one person, I was given 7,500 points. And you go to Joe Merchants, which is essentially a little sundry store. On one side of the store is a coffee shop, and everything at the coffee shop is complimentary. There's pastries, so that part is totally all included. But then they have a table with every kind of snack on it, sweet to savory, very Mexican, like a lot of sort of things that I'd never seen before, and some dried fruits and, you know, things that you could try, all at various price points, including chocolate and that sort of thing, including some really good chocolate. They had, if you weren't interested in those, they had little gift boxes of spices. Like, one of the gift boxes was to, if you wanted to sort of flavor your own gin, they had like gin botanicals. One was spices, like for cooking, and you could take them home. They're like little gift sets. In the refrigerator, they had like all kinds of different sodas, at least 10 different kinds of beer, including El Presidente Light. So if you were missing that from your all-inclusive experience, but they had Guinness, they had all the beers that you normally would find at an all-inclusive, but usually you have to go to the bar for, right? So you could basically pick and choose what you were going to put in your mini bar. And then they had a full shelf of liquor, and like they had high-end gin and they had high-end bourbon and they had, but they also had, you know, they had standard stuff too. It was a little pricey, but it wasn't, I mean, like, I think it was 10,000 points for a really good bottle of German gin, that I would have taken home. I mean, it was a full size bottle of gin. There's no way I would have had that in three nights. So when you think about it from a perspective of how long you're, you know, like, I felt like it balanced out. I didn't spend out all my points. Had I had room in my luggage, I would have spent my points on snacks to bring home for the kids. I just didn't have any room to carry anything. But here's the thing. I was not in my room very much, and my room literally was about, 10 long paces from the bar. So I didn't need stuff in my room. Even me, I like to have a glass of wine when I'm getting ready or whatever. I didn't need to have it there. Even if it had been raining, it would not have been a miserable trip out to the bar to go get that. So I think that's sort of some of the logic too, is it didn't waste anything. You know, I didn't feel like I was obligated to stuff my bag with drinks that I didn't drink. And I wasn't drinking a bunch of junk that I didn't necessarily want to drink either. I got one Diet Coke, you know, like I needed it one day. So it got mixed reviews. I was there with other travel agents and some of them hated it, but I really, as much as I love people waiting on me and anticipating my needs, I really like the idea of me being able to say, you know what, today I feel like gin and tomorrow I feel like bourbon. And I just really liked that flexibility.
Yeah, I think that it depends on your how you travel, your travel style. Now, I can say that myself, I would probably love that because all I really want is I'd like to have some Coke and maybe a bottle of Chardonnay or a whatever, and I'll drink everything else at the bar. I don't really need a whole lot of things, but I've traveled with people before that are, they have to have their, every night has to be, it's yeah. gotta be stuff.
And they had a variety of wine too. I mentioned the beer, but like they had everything from Reuniti on up, you know, so you really could sort of get.
Reuniti, really?
Kind of, yes, Reuniti.
Funny because I just heard a talk show host talking about Reuniti
on ice.
Yes.
So nice.
And I'm like, God, Chris, do you remember this? And now I've heard it twice in like 3 days.
Yeah. I mean, and from a waste perspective too, and from a safety perspective, a lot of people have, you know, decided that they're not comfortable at all inclusives because they've heard about tainted alcohol or whatever. Well, first of all, this brand, I'm never going to worry about them serving alcohol that is off in any way, but you were literally buying sealed bottles that you picked out yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not left in your room. You don't have to question whether or not somebody took a nip out of it or anything. It's, you know, so to me, it was far better and very COVID friendly as well. So,
did they have smaller bottles like pints and airplane bottles?
I don't remember seeing airplane bottles. They might've had some, but they weren't like ginormous bottles. They were kind of
your 175.
Yeah. Maybe 750s. But
okay.
Yeah. But yeah, generally the small, like, yeah, not the super large ones. They were good. They were good for, say, a week's stay for sure.
How late were the bars open?
Do you think she knows?
Just kidding. I know I was joking because I was thinking, huh, yeah, it's 5 o'clock somewhere in Elizabeth's.
They were open early.
They were open till 5.
Let me see. Bar was not open after, say, 5 o'clock. I don't know if it is normally, but it wasn't. And that area was kind of, because it's set so far back, it just wasn't really ever hopping. They had great live entertainment and I could hear it until at least 11, at least. I don't know because I was asleep.
Okay. Yeah. It's fine.
But I wouldn't go here for the nightlife. I mean, the entertainment was good, but you're not going to be up dancing all night. Again, with that laid back, you know, feel, you're much more likely to be sitting in your Adirondack chair, you know, having.
So was there any room
yes,
service?
Yes, 24-hour room service. I didn't partake, but some did. And it's food from the beach house mostly. I think you could get some of the other stuff as well. I looked at the menu. Everything's on an app. The check-in process was kind of intimidating. It's a bunch of QR codes. So it's like, okay, scan this code. And because of COVID, like scan this code to download the app and then scan this code to schedule your COVID test to come home and then scan this to reserve something else. It was like, I felt like I was like, didn't I already scan this? He's like, no, this is a different one. You know? So I felt like I was doing, but it was all for different reasons. They give you a bracelet that is, it's actually, I have it in the other room. I should have brought it in to show you guys. Not that our listeners can see it, but it's just a little disc. It's plastic, but it's about the thickness of like a flattened penny and about that same weight, you know, and that's your RFID chip. And then it's on like a rope. So there's no, you know, I know Lindsay, you have sensitive skin too, and I do as well, but like magic bands and those like fitness bands and things, they tend to make me itch. This was just a rope bracelet. It's really friendly to my skin. So I had no problem sleeping in it. It's water, you know, water resistant.
Yeah, Club Med has those cloth ones, and ever since I've had that, I don't want anything that's
not cloth. It's not cloth, but it's not, I mean, it's not metal either. There's no metal on it at all.
So it's a comfortable.
And they'll put it on you. They just tighten it with, you know, it's like one of those pole bracelets where they can tighten it or loosen it with the pole. And I found that once they did it, it stayed really nicely. And it didn't bother me. I slept in it. I showered. Everything. It was not a problem. In fact, I didn't even take it off till I got home. And I was like, oh, I'm still wearing my Margaritaville bracelet. So I flew all the way home with it. Super easy.
I do that with my magic bands.
Well, but you're a nerd about
I
that.
Wear them as long as I can. No.
I kind of ran over this really fast in the intro, but this is in Riviera Cancun. Do you have any, where is this located?
So it's only about 15 minutes from the airport. So I would say my recommendation would be that this is a great resort for a short stay. If you're doing a long weekend, the number of restaurants is not huge. Price point is, they call themselves laid back luxury. Luxury, I think, is a stretch. It's very nice. But I don't think it's really luxury. Maybe that's just, I don't get okay. Jimmy Buffett, but.
More of like a mop. I was looking at the pictures, it looked more like
yeah, I mean, it's very nice, but it's not. There are touches that make me say, okay, I see how they're saying we're going to be luxury. But, the bedding was really nice. So there were elements that would indicate, but it's not luxury. It does price a little high though, but some of that, it's a boutique. You know, it's very small. There's a lot of privacy. So for that reason, and the stretch of beach is actually really nice. It is south of Cancun and they did have some seaweed on the beach. I did take pictures for you, Lindsay, by the way. I'll make sure I get this to you, but, they were cleaning up the seaweed every morning and I did go next door and I toured, Breathless and Secrets, which are one property together. And, their seaweed issue was they had so much more seaweed. So just the location where they are on the beach, I feel like they got less. They were able to sort of neatly pile it up and then take it all away. So it's not a huge beach, and at high tide it's like all the way up to the wall. But at low tide, where you've got lots of sand and it's really nice. So.
So how was your travel process with COVID? What were they doing at the resorts
I put this bullet point last so that for our listeners who are not listening during COVID, if you're listening afterwards, you can just skip this part because it won't be relevant to you hopefully in a few months. But right now the CDC requires that you test in order to come back into the country, and you have to test negative, and it's an antigen test, so it's a fairly rapid return on the test. It doesn't go through a lab. Most resorts in Mexico are offering it on-site free of charge. If you want a PCR test with the lab results, which is what Canada was requiring, you do have to pay for that usually. But if you just do the antigen test, it's free. And it was super easy to schedule. So the reason that Delta wanted us to come out was not for us to have a cheeseburger in paradise, although we did that. But the main reason was to fly and to see what it was like to experience Delta at this time, which I'm always happy with Delta. They are no longer protecting middle seats, so it was a little bit more crowded than, I like on my flights. That said, even with no middle seat protected, on the way back, I had an entire row to myself. There's two seats.
Are they serving drinks and stuff?
They are serving drinks. I had a cocktail on my way back because I was in Comfort Plus. They had their normal sort of snack variety, goldfish and or biscotti. You usually got two things on each flight. I got two things. The in-flight entertainment and everything. I just really like Delta in general. I'm always going to be a fan of Delta, I think. Well, I should never say always, but, and then they also make it relatively easy. Everything's sort of on their app where you can, do your attestation form. So in order to come back in the country, you have to take the test, get the results, upload the results to your airline of choice, whether it's Delta or whoever you're flying. Of course, if you're flying American, you need to upload to American. Don't upload to Delta. But anyway, you upload that before you even go to the airport, and you have to fill out a little attestation form that says basically, I do not have COVID. I behaved responsibly. I don't have any symptoms. Basically an honor system kind of thing.
So does that get prompted when you check in for your flight?
Yeah, when you check in. And you can bypass it to do the check-in process because you have to do that form, I think, within 6 hours of your flight. So, with an airline like Southwest, you need to check in 24 hours ahead. With Delta, it's not so important that you check in that far ahead. So you could do it all at once. And then Mexico also has a health form that you have to fill out to get back to get to leave the country as well. So there's a QR code for that, and you can do it ahead of time and have it have a screenshot on your phone. But you need your phone when you go to the airport. You are going to need your phone because that's how you're going to also present any other proof of your COVID test or anything like that. So if it didn't upload cleanly to Delta, they'll ask you for it. If I forgot to do my attestation form, so I got called up to the podium and I had to do it before I could get on the flight. There was another couple that I believe did not have the right kind of test. I couldn't quite tell, and I think they might have. So it's possible they were supposed to be in the two seats beside me. I don't think they made it back. Right. You really do have to, I mean, they probably made it back eventually, but they did not have their paperwork in order. So you also want to allow yourself enough time at the airport to get through all these processes. But honestly, it was pretty easy. I mean, when I checked in, I was only there for 3 days. So when I checked in, I scheduled my COVID test and it had to be for the next day. Cause basically you want to have it 2 days before you come home so that you have it one day, the next day you get the results. And you might have time to test again if you need to, but then, and then the next day you fly home. So 2 days ahead of your, it has to be within 3 days of your flight.
So is there also now a, like exit fee?
So Mexico in theory has an exit fee. I would say maybe two of us paid it.
Really?
Yeah. Don't tell Mexico. Okay. Yeah. Okay. There is absolutely nothing set up to collect it other than the online. So if you pay it online ahead of time, then you've paid it. But at no point in the process did anybody ask me for proof of paying it or ask me to pay it. I was ready to pay it, but there was nowhere to pay it. I mean, it wasn't even like I saw a table where I should have paid it and I walked by it whistling quietly to myself. I saw nothing, okay. No indication of where I should pay it. No one asked me for that money at all.
That's interesting.
When I was there flying, I flew out just the other day as well, and all they had was a girl standing at the escalator with a sign holding, "Have you paid your tax?"
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
Anyway, I guess if you stopped and said something, they're like, "Oh yeah, you have to pay over here."
Yeah.
But so many people just walked right past her and didn't even pay attention.
That's kind of like that honor system check that I got caught in Jamaica coming back this last time. There was after the gate where you already scanned your ticket and you're going down to get on the plane.
You're like on the jetway?
Boarding the plane. And there's a table there. Already on the jetway going up. And there's a lady, a little cute little lady with the table there. And she's got her little thing. And she goes, "Does anybody have any electronics, any Kindles, any whatever?" And I'm like, "Oh, shoot." And I stop. And then I look while I'm detained there because apparently bug spray and sunscreen and anything like that. I thought I wiped my Kindle down pretty good, but I didn't. It will all come up as like a explosive whatever. So over my Kindle, she's having me stand there forever, and I'm watching, it's Southwest, so I'm watching my good seat go away. And here I'm watching people with laptop bags, and she's asking, and this guy's like, "No, nope." I'm like, "That's a laptop bag, you
liar." Yep. So, and I mean, I feel a little guilty. I suppose I could go back and pay it, but it's a very nominal amount of money. So I would say, with as much trouble as coming back into the country was, and the airport was hopping, I will say that they were efficient. I mean, the lines moved quickly. There were lines, but they moved quickly. And I didn't check a bag, so that helped me as well get through everything. But yeah, there really wasn't much to it.
How?
$11, something like that. Yeah, it's in pesos, so I'd have to do the math. It's like $5.85 or something like that, but. Yeah. So, and the COVID test, honestly, I mean, my appointment was at 4:15, I think. I showed up at 4:00. I signed in at the front desk, and then they seat you in the little front area. And we, you know, our group was all getting their tests done pretty much at the same time. And they took us to, so most hotels have one building set aside as the quarantine building, which is where they would put you if you tested positive and have to stay on site. And this hotel, Charisma, does offer to, put you up for up to 10 to 14 days, I think, however long you need to quarantine if you end up testing positive while you're there.
Now, do you know, is there a fee associated with that?
I don't know for sure.
Insurance reimburses?
Yeah, I don't know for sure. I mean, my understanding was it was totally free, but I fortunately did not have to take them up on it and find out, especially because I only brought a carry-on bag. I'm going
to
be...
Have it, and they say that it's totally free, but really you have to pay for it. And
then, yeah, no.
Well, some resorts do that, but
yeah, I'm pretty sure Charisma is free.
I just sent someone there. They're there right now, and I called to make sure.
Yeah, it's free. So, but it is, you know, I thought antigen test would probably just be like a cheek swab or something. Nope, it was the poke my eyeball. It was definitely an uncomfortable experience. However, it was brief and there was a margarita at the end. It took maybe 15 minutes out of my quote vacation and I was able to get on my merry way. And then I got the email. It's mostly in Spanish, so you do have to make sure that you know it doesn't get filtered out or anything like that, but it's very clear what the results say. It's, you know, it says it in three different languages, I think. And then you basically have to, you save that as either a JPEG or a PDF, and then when you're ready to upload it to Delta's little
site. So you need a laptop then?
No, I did all on my phone. You don't. You just need to know how to save things on your phone.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'll show you, old lady. So you can actually. So the way you do a JPEG is you just take a screenshot of it.
Okay.
And honestly, I saved it as both a PDF and a JPEG because somebody else in our group said that she had uploaded the PDF and it wouldn't accept it. It said that it wasn't readable. And my husband was telling me that it's about the code of a PDF, like the way it translates, but the JPEG read just fine. So my JPEG was literally a screenshot of the email. Just okay. Boop. Yeah. But PDF, you can choose to save or print. And when you save it, you can export as a PDF. It's not that hard.
She's staring at you blankly.
I know. Sorry, I'm tired.
Computer technology.
I drove home from Pittsburgh today, so I'm tired.
Oh my gosh, she got Pittsburgh into our Mexico episode.
Wow.
I'll take it out.
Thank you.
Thanks, George.
Take it out, George.
So in summary, it is a little bit more complicated to come back from Mexico right now, but it's not so complicated that it isn't worth it. You do have to get the stick up your nose. So if you don't like that, then so be it. Masks were not required. They were recommended inside in close quarters, but it was not really enforced. I felt safe. Chairs were appropriately distanced. I didn't feel like I was ever, you know, jammed into anything. You know, it wasn't super crowded or anything like that. Everything spaced nicely. So even for a small resort, it was really spaced out well. So
it sounds like a great place for like a, I don't know, like an Outlander travel.
Yeah, like just a weekend.
So many places are. Yeah, I mean, I will say that, you know, it was one bed in the room that I was in. So although, you know, we've done that before.
Yeah. That's how Sandy purposely books all the rooms now that I'm
Every
single one the conversation.
She just likes sleeping with somebody.
Yeah. Somebody to snuggle with. But even, I mean, honestly, even the theming, I was saying it wasn't in your face, but I guess it really was. I mean, like the sheets are white, but they have little parrots on them, like white parrots. Like if you look really closely, you're like, oh, look, it's parrots. And there's parrots on the bathroom toiletries and everything is like coconut or tequila scented. It's all like scented like cocktails and food, which I love. So I really liked it. I thought it was a very walkable, very easy resort to get around. And I mentioned it's not really accessible. There are stairs in inconvenient places, but it isn't difficult. If you're mobility challenged, you can get around. It's if you are really, you know, if you really need to roll places, that's where you might start having problems.
Well, it sounds very on brand for Mr. Buffett, and it sounds fun.
Yeah, I think it's a great. I've been to other Margaritavilles, some of their EP hotels, and I just think this partnership with Charisma is a great one for them. It's a night. The two brands go really, really well together. So, yeah, good food, good times, good cocktails. They have at the License to Chill bar. They have a wheel that has a bunch of different drinks on it, everything from like water to a tequila shot and different cocktails and stuff. And it's totally, obviously you could spin the wheel and if you get something you don't want, you don't have to get it. But if you really don't know what to drink, you can just spin this wheel and see what comes up. It's really fun. It's
every fun. Bar at an all-inclusive should have that. I agree. So many times, because everybody walks up there and goes, you get choice paralysis. You can get anything you want. You go to a bar where you're paying and you know what you want. But when you go to a bar where it's all included.
No, that's me all the time, whether I'm paying or it's free.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the bartenders don't really love to hear every time, you know, this complete stranger walks up and says, surprise me. And they're like, really? Because I know nothing about you.
I know.
And, you know, there's so much pressure there. So it is. It's really fun to just spin that wheel. It's such a great concept. And there were probably, I mean, I didn't count them, but I would say there were probably 30 or 35 different drinks on it, you know, on the wheel. So and you know, people cheer while you're spinning it and it makes that clicky clicky sound.
I would have been doing that the whole time, just spinning the wheel to get something different. Were the bartenders, how were the bartenders, because
they were great.
I'm really picky about my bartenders.
Yeah, I thought they were all very good. And they really tried hard to please. I do always, my joy is always to ask for a Manhattan and or an old fashioned just to see what they do with it. And it's always
just weird. To see how they make
it's
it.
Always super weird. And so my old fashioned had like a lot of orange juice in it. I don't know why they think I want really sweet old fashions. I think they're maybe hiding the bourbon that they're using. I'm not sure. But it's always interesting to see what I get. But I don't judge the bartender by that because it's how they sort of their demeanor and everything. Right. And many of them were very good mixologists and some of them could do the like, you know, Tom Cruise cocktail, you know, flippy things and all that. So entertaining. The guy who ran the tequila tasting, he definitely knew his tequila. He knew what he was doing. So
I always look for the, and it sounds so, it's just the reverse of ageism, but I always look for the oldest bartender because they know.
Everything.
I mean, I've had like the best drinks from the oldest person in the bar, and then you come back and you're trying to get it again from somebody else. You're like, ooh, not quite. When's he back?
Yeah. You know, I mean, they're definitely hiring for bartenders at this place. Like, that's something they don't want the bartenders to be amateurs or this to be their first gig, right? There's none of that. So, I really did feel some of the service was a little slow. But again, there are two reasons for that. One could be COVID. The other one very likely could just be Jimmy Buffett. It's, you know, it's laid back. You're not in any rush. So I was never miserable. I wasn't like, oh my gosh, am I ever going to see anybody? It was never like that. So I really, really enjoyed it. Never a shortage for food. And the taco bar is, since it's only open for lunch, I was like, I'm never going to eat there, but it's open until later. So you can have second lunch. So taco snacks.
Oh, that's the best thing. Second lunch. Perfect. And then because they have 24 hour room service, if you're not really hungry for dinner and you just have a dessert or something and you want something else later, that's great. I love resorts that have 24 hour room service because it seems like sometimes dinner rolls around and I've already either, I don't know if I've drank too much or if I too long in the sun and you're not really hungry. So you don't eat.
Or all of the above. Yeah.
Yeah. And then 4 hours later, you're starving. Nothing's
there. You're like, why am I starving? I'm at an all-inclusive resort. Yeah. I thought it was a cute resort. I would go again. I love the laid back feel. I know that there are many people in my family who would love the no dress code. So, and it is family.
Does that mean no dress code?
Well, there was no dress code on the 5 o'clock summer bar that said no shirt, no shoes, no problem. So it didn't mention pants. So, but yeah, I mean, I always
vary. Please do not cite this podcast.
I didn't see anyone do it, but I think you might have been able to go in a bathing suit and cover up. I mean, you know, like they really had no. They did say no tank tops for men, so there might have been a dress code that they would have enforced had anybody pushed the envelope too hard.
Yeah, those. Well, that's
really good. No tank tops for men.
Banana hammocks.
Yeah.
It's probably a good policy.
Nobody wants to see that while they're eating. So.
No.
George
or any other time.
Audience can see George.
George was all ready to go and
no, he's completely turned.
I'm all done.
Well, that is our show for this week. We'll end on that lovely note. thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends all about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of outlandertravel.com, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, Sandy, George, Elizabeth, and myself, Lindsay, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.